See, when our Lord Jesus died, he died that he might have the power over evil. For instance, the old devil had an ultimate weapon. It was death. Now, a curious thing with us Christians is that we don't believe God. I know we say we do, but very often we don't believe God. If we did, we wouldn't act the way we act. We think it's a miracle that God saves our lives and keeps us on earth, and yet I'm reminded of the scripture that absent from this body, I'm present with the Lord. And a dear friend, she used to say this, sudden death, sudden glory. Her death was sudden, but it was after a very prolonged illness of cancer. And at 32 years old, she slipped into the arms of the Lord Jesus. And the doctors came rushing in, Christian doctors, Christian nurses. And they came rushing in, and she had a little mother. I doubt if her mother, when she stood on tiptoe, was any more than 5 feet tall. She was a concert pianist, had very delicate hands. She was a sort of a thick-set little lady. She was Dutch. And when the doctors and the nurses ran in to resuscitate this young lady, who normally would be about 140 pounds, was now down to less than 60, and had tried to die for 11 months, they rushed in to resuscitate her and bring her back. And this little mother slammed the door, leaned against it, held them off, eventually threw herself on the bed with the lady, with her daughter, and said, "Leave her alone. She's in the arms of Jesus." Sometimes we think, if we can only save life, but when life eternal has been saved, what is left to lose? Not very much. Not really. We pray that you young men and women and all in this congregation will be delivered from evil. That is, you won't be overcome by evil, the evil that springs from within your heart and the evil that oppresses you from without. We pray that you'll not be overcome with evil. And one of the evils, older people, is surely this, that we don't believe God has saved us, else death would not be so frightening. Let me talk to you about death for a minute. It'll come. Even when the Lord Jesus comes, I don't think that people are going to say, "Whoopee, here we go." There's not going to be time, but we will go through some change in our bodies. And who's to say that death would not have been preferred? Frankly, I hope I'm here when Jesus comes, but if I'm not, I'll soon be there. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those that are alive and remain. And I wonder how much time there will be in that interval. It may be the flash of an eye. It may be a moment or two. It may be a few minutes or an hour. It could be just a little while. And whatever the length of that time, I wonder if, like Adam, in our first parents, I wonder if Adam thought, "Oh my, I don't have to go along with Eve. I don't have to sin." I wonder in that period of time, will some of us say, "I wonder if I'm counted as a Christian. I wonder, I see all those that are dead and have gone on up, my parents, my brothers, my sisters, those that I knew, my grandparents who love the Lord, they've gone. I see them still going up in the sky. Was my faith in Christ?" I wonder if we'll have a few minutes, a few moments of hesitation. Ever thought about that? You ever thought about it? People come along and they say, "Look, it's humanitarian. You're going to die, and when you die, we've trained people that can quickly cut your heart out and it can be transplanted and stuck in somebody who needs a new heart. We can pop your eyes out and pop them in the head of people that need good eyes. We can whip out your kidneys and pop them in people." There is a man who needs eyes, a heart, and kidneys, and he's walking along the street. I think if you have a transplant, you'd better get right with God. For if the Christians donated all those bits and pieces, when Jesus comes, you might be walking along and find suddenly you're blind, suddenly without kidneys and without a heart. Pshoomph, they've all gone. Can you imagine the confusion? Now, we think it's pretty confusing if the driver of the bus is a Christian and pssst, he's gone. But imagine the fellow sitting there, poof, and I went. Or he sees going away from him a heart going, dumpa, 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 dumpa. Hey, I want that, and that's the end of him. I wonder exactly how that's all going to work out. Do you ever think about those things? Or maybe I've got an over-imaginative mind, but I often wonder. What will happen, supposing they start doing headectomies and head transplants? Have you thought of that? You're walking along, poof, the headless horseman's walking. The Lord has come, and the bits are needed. All the bits and pieces are amalgamated and put back in their right places. Doesn't it conjure up some sort of imagination that would be almost frightening? Ooh, ooh, hmm. All the things that people would do. Men and women, we need to understand that Satan makes us think that death is the most frightening thing that we'll ever encounter. Jesus said, I have died and I have risen from the dead that you might have life. And that life is everlasting life. You need not fear death. You need not fear death. He has taken, as it were, the sting from death. He has taken, as it were, whatever the ingredients are that are in death that cause people to tremble and be anxious and worried. He has taken those ingredients out. Do you believe that? He has taken it out. So I can look at an open grave and I can sort of contemplate it for a moment. Now, there's no doubt that we who are alive and remain, we are going to weep over those that are dead. But we can look at that grave and say, grave, you have no victory. Because my loved one is alive in Jesus. This is the body that is being buried. This is the dust from whence it came. It returns. This is all it is, a chunk of clay, and I gladly bury it. Earth belongs to earth. And what we're looking at in this body is something that is very temporary. It is temporary. Do you remember older people, when you used to run as fast as these young people? Do you remember that? Now two or three steps at a fast pace and your knees hurt. Your ankles start creaking and your thighs hurt and your heart starts pumping and your lungs start heaving. You feel like a vacuum cleaner giving up in the middle of spring cleaning. Do you remember older people? How good we were at playing all the games we played and tearing here, there, and everywhere, and now we do everything in two speeds, dead slow and stop. Do you remember how you used to sit up all night working out all the bits and pieces that they gave you at college and they gave you at school, and you could sit up all night and do that, and somehow it all came out right. You passed, at least. At the end of the course, you got your degree or whatever it was you tried for. Now, why, 9 o'clock, you're nodding off at the news. Or maybe it doesn't come on at 9, maybe 11 o'clock. But at 9 o'clock, it's time for bed. And 7 o'clock comes too early. Make it 8 and get up for 9. Coffee's at 10. Don't let's work too hard. Lunch is at 12. Hey, if we work it right, we can be home at 4 and sit and watch the news again and go to bed at 9. These young people, you don't know about those things, do you? What's bed before 9? What's bed before midnight? Whoa. And what's this business of 7 o'clock breakfast? You're all up and bushy-eyed and bright-tailed early in the morning. About 6 or 5, 4 is it you get up to do all the things you do? Some of you should. You take the bathroom long enough. Have you noticed how we're wearing out? We're sort of wearing out. Is that right? I find it every time I pick up something to read. I've got a case, one of these attaché cases, with a tumbler lock. It's so easy, all I've got to do is move 3 little tumblers. The other day I was in a hurry and I put my glasses in the case and locked it and spun the tumblers. I got to the airport and I needed to open it. I couldn't see the tumblers. I moved away a long way. Fellow offered me a pair of binoculars, and there I stood with binoculars looking at my case, but my arm wasn't long enough to move the tumblers. I felt rather silly with binoculars, but I had to move so far away, And the fellow said, oh, it's all right, you don't have to open it. I was grateful to that. The trouble was, eventually I had to open it, and I'm the only person that knows what the code is. You know, we're getting on. Years are going by. The hair is falling out. The teeth are wobbling. The eyes are revolving. We're getting elderly. Are you worried about dying? It's only a piece of clay. That's all it is. Because what we're looking at is a temporary shell. It's just a temporary thing. And God says, I want to give you the eternal, something not temporary, but something that will last forever and forever and keep on living. So the Spirit returns to God. That's why it's needful that we get our spirits reborn. Young people, older people. If your spirit is reborn, you can look at death and say, Death, all you can do is give me some pain for a little while, but the moment I die, I'm in the arms of Jesus. You can look at an open grave and you can say, Grave, you have no victory. All you've got of me is a shell. My spirit has returned to God. And my spirit is not buried. My life is not buried. My hope is not buried. I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Hey, now that's good news. But you might say, you people down here who are young, oh, well, he's right. Look how old he is. His eyes are swiveling. His hair's falling out. He's old and creaky. Oh, that's an old person. He, little fella, was enjoying Christmas. He got on his bike, a Christmas present. He was about 8 or 10 or 12, somewhere in there. And his parents said, don't go round the block, just go up and down outside. And he went round the block. You know, boys are like that. You go up and down so long and it gets boring. Yeah, it's real boring. You can't scare too many people. You can't whip round the corner and bend the bike right over. You've got to get it over there. You can't scrape your new trousers at the knee. And you can't drag the toe on your Christmas shoes. And you can't dig your heel in. You can't look as if you've been there a while. And this young fellow went round the corner, and then he came back in case his parents saw him, and they didn't. So he went back and round the corner. On the other side of the block was a tavern. A chap had been in there celebrating Christmas, was a little inebriated. He wasn't drunk, but inebriated, just sort of on the border there, sort of happy. Got in his car and was reversing out, but not looking where he was going. And this kid came round and on his bicycle, and the car went over him, killed him. See, the good news is that all of us, whether we're very young or very old, the good news is this. Death need not worry us. We can face it. It's a fact. But that's all it is. Isn't it lovely? I will not die. You're going to put up with me for eternity. I hope you like me. Because if you don't, you're going to have a lot of trouble in eternity. Because I'm the sort of chap that'll jump from cloud to cloud or pull the plug out of your cloud to see if you float down or stay up. I'm the sort of chap that comes along and needs to pluck a few wings to discover if you can fly without angel wings. Oh, I've got a lot of ideas of mischief I can get up to if the Lord will allow it or turn his back on me for long enough. If they're playing organs up there, I hope I can have some fun with those organs. I know I won't have mice to play with, but there's a lot of things we could do in heaven. Sing out of tune. I wonder what we could really do. I wonder what it's like. Hey, you got all eternity to find out. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe tonight that death really has no power over you? If you believe it, if you understand it, then come. Let's be strong in the Lord. And let's live like people that are not under a threat. Jesus said, if you believe what I teach, you will be free. Free from the cloud of death. In Psalm 138, we discover these beautiful words, and this is what I thought I might speak about. But I shared just these words. Thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt revive me. It's a statement that the psalmist makes. And he says, Thou, Lord, Thou wilt revive me. Nothing can scare me now. I am the Lord's. I hope that's where you are tonight. I pray that's where you are for eternity. And that's what we're looking for. So come with us and stay with us around this table. As you take the bread, remember it reminds us of the body of Jesus that was broken to pay for our sins. As we drink the cup, remember it represents the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from every sin. There's a lovely hymn. Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness. And we ask of Thee now that as we belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to us, not just for time but for all eternity, oh Lord, we pray that Your blessing and Your grace shall teach us to follow You all the days of our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen.